Good morning and welcome to Local Matters. Ben Rogers in studio with Mayor Ricky Shelton, the City of Coolville Mayor. Always a frequent guest on my show because he has so much information. He's going to update us on so much going on, especially Red, White, and Boom that's coming up in just a few weeks, the City of Coolville's budget. So good morning, Mayor.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being always here. How you doing? You good?
Yeah, I'm good. How about you?
I'm good. I'm recovering from a long vacation over the pond in the UK, and I'm still on London time.
You could probably have doing a whole show about that.
I probably could. I don't know if anybody would want to hear it, but I learned a lot, met a lot of interesting people. Scotland is by far my favorite place in the UK that I've been to. London was just okay.
Do you know anything about the crown jewels, that there's some missing now?
Saw the crown jewels that – so I learned this, and I'm glad you brought that up. The oldest crown jewels, or the oldest jewels that exist in the monarchy or UK, is in Edinburgh Castle in Scotland.
Yeah.
And then they keep them there. And then obviously the Queen has her crown jewels that all the other monarchs, I guess, got to wear at one time and had with the staff and the spoon and the what you call it and this and that.
All the stuff.
It's a lot of stuff. It is cool. I enjoy history. But we were there during the 70th Jubilee for the Queen, which is
That's a big
platinum
deal.
Jubilee.
Yeah.
And there was madness. So
I'm sure.
Just be gracious with me this morning. I'm
absolutely
still
hey, it's all good.
So a lot going on. Last week, the council, city council for Cookeville, met and approved the first reading of the budget, correct?
Correct.
And then there's some major things in there that was approved, some historical things, actually a couple of note that we want to talk about, and there's some other things, but I want to start, I want to start with employees, because employees are so essential to what cities and counties do for the quality of life of its citizens. And if there's anybody that has been a proponent of quality of life for the city of Coolville and Putnam County, you and Mayor Porter have been all about that since you've been in the last 8 years.
Right.
And so the employees in the first reading are standing to get, what, a historical raise?
Yeah, about 12%.
Wow.
And so that's very significant. You know, as you said, you know, the employees are, you know, the government is basically a service business, and the employees are the lifeblood of that. And as every other industry and business is having issues with, you know, keeping good employees, because it is so competitive now. And so we wanted to get our rates adjusted, and City Manager James Mills has been a huge proponent of helping, you know, shepherd this and facilitate that, and obviously our finance director Brenda Immel, and they did a fabulous job on the budget and getting all that prepared. But it is approximately a 12% increase for all employees. It's very significant for police. We were really having a hard time, you know, our starting pay for a police officer was like $32,000, which, you know, is ridiculously low, honestly, for the danger that they're in. So that's going to be right at 41 now for starting pay, which is what gets us more competitive and hopefully can help in that department. And then just trying to get things leveled out and get it up to a baseline that's easier to manage. It's been a number of years where we didn't have enough money to do that. And through various, you know, the blessings of a great economy and some other things, that a rework of the retirement fund, and there was some commingling of stuff with a hospital that was discovered. So there's a payback on that. And so all that money was able to just go right back into, and we used it for employees and didn't have to raise taxes.
That's good. And of course, sales tax is still rocking and rolling.
It is. You know, we're 52% of our budget is sales tax, and it's at record levels now too. So may not always happen. So you certainly can't know that that's coming, but you can budget appropriately and conservatively. And then when you get that extra, then you have money to do things with.
And the value of appraised property has gone up. So
yep.
When the value of appraised property goes up, then the revenue the city is receiving from property taxes is going up.
Right.
I haven't raised taxes, but the value of property is increasing.
Exactly.
And so,
and when they do that, you know that they adjust the penny rate.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes down, the tax rate goes down, but your property value goes up. So
yep.
It's a net neutral. Or it should be. You all did that too.
Yeah,
we did it as well. And so then, you know, just the difference then becomes just the value as it starts going up, and then the taxes will increase a little more over time because your values
right.
go up.
Yeah. So, right now, even though, excuse me, gas prices are astronomical, people are still spending money.
Right.
And y'all are able to do some things without raising taxes. And I think it's great. I hope hope everything goes through on the second reading for the employees, because I know they deserve it.
It was all unanimous. The budgets were, the city budget and the hospital budget, all those things were passed unanimously.
Good. Yeah. Good. When's the second reading? Next month?
It'll be actually Thursday the 16th.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Because last week was. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Okay. Let's talk about something else. And I read your. I saw the Facebook post when I was overseas. I tried to not be on my phone, but
hard not to.
Well, when you can't sleep because it's 6 o'clock p.m. at home and it's midnight in London, you're wide awake, or Scotland, wherever we were. So I'm on Facebook, and you posted, I believe it was whatever happened last Thursday night. The water facility / aquatic facility. I don't know the correct term.
Different water park / aquatics facility. I mean, it's taken on a few different names, but the bottom line is this is something I've been talking about that people have communicated to me for 7 years, 7.5 years since I've been mayor, that they want, we need a water park type facility in our town. And the last term, a few of us went and we toured some, McMinnville and Gallatin and Tullahoma and some others, and looked at what they had. And there just wasn't the support to go ahead and move it forward. And we had some other projects we wanted to get accomplished. We'd already received a grant for the skate park, and we knew we wanted to do the police headquarters. And so it wasn't the time. And so we then fast forward, we didn't really need a needs assessment because we knew the need was there. The question became, what does that look like? What would that cost? And so we did employ an outside firm, and they came in and we had a committee and then had a lot of consumer input, citizen input into what that would look like. And so we arrived at a plan that included an indoor-outdoor facility. The indoor facility is very expensive. That could be open all year long, but it increases the cost. I think the indoor by itself, the budget was for like $26 million would cost for that.
Wow.
The outdoor would be somewhere probably, by the time you do land and everything, $10 to $15 million. And so wasn't really sure. Everybody was kind of like, we still need to do it. So I just said, if we're ever going to do it, now's the time. We need to go ahead and plant that flag. And so I made a motion to amend the budget to include the potential for the bond issue for the outdoor water park type facility, which would be a pool and a lazy river and some slides and things like that related to the outdoor portion only. And it passed unanimously. The council passed it. And what that means is, obviously, we couldn't even get it designed before I leave office in August, but it now is in there in the budget, so it's a line item, the bond issue for up to $15 million, which would be land and facility. And so it will require the next count. Let me back up. So potentially, and we've been looking for land to do this because we want it to be the right piece. We want it to have access to invisibility to a highway or something. And so if we find the land, we'll go ahead and potentially issue that bond because it takes for about 4 or 5 months to get a bond, in, as you well know, and then buy the land. And then the next council, it'll be up to them to have it designed and or to issue that bond and then to complete it. So obviously we can't necessarily encumber the next council, but I thought it was important to get it started. And then if they don't want to do that, they could certainly stop it. But I think it will be something that people will ask as the election comes, do you support this or not?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't live in the city, as you know, but I know several of the candidates running, and I have spoken with them a little bit, and therefore continuing this project, they feel like, and I will say this about politics in Putnam County and the city of Cobble overall, I feel like most of the time it's pretty good, and I have not heard one bad word from anybody running for council about anybody else. They've all been very they've very admirable of the current council, of you and your leadership and everybody else that's on there, about what a great job y'all have done, and they just want to continue that. So
right.
I imagine it would probably be supported if the next council.
I think it will. And, I think the citizens, now that they kind of see, it's there. And I mean, just on the feedback I've gotten, it's 85-90% agree with it and want to do that. And so I think it will. It's just a matter of finding the right location for it. And then another important point, the actual issuance of the bond, the payback of the bonds, and building this facility will not require a tax increase. The hotel motel tax is sufficient enough as it is right now, and what we anticipate coming. We've got new hotels opening, and the occupancy's way back up again. So that just that revenue itself will fund and pay back the bond.
Yeah, and do we have an idea of what a yearly operation expense would be?
That is all part of then coming back to do the design, because depending on what you put in it and how big it was, but that would certainly be something you would have to be cognizant of.
Sure.
As you design it. You know, we have the capacity to absorb this into that, and so you need to design it around that. That's not really, if I was still there, that's what I would ask. And so I'm sure the next council will as well, because they don't want to open something and have to do a tax increase to make it work. And you shouldn't have to, because we're going to continue to have growth. That we know. And as you said, sales tax and other thing, and that and property values and all those things will help fund it.
Yeah, we're definitely not in the situation where people are leaving our city and county.
No, they're coming here in droves, and that's that brings good and bad. It brings challenges, and so those are all the things. You know, a lot of that's infrastructure. You know, we have $125 million in road, sidewalk, utility projects that are either planned, being designed, in process, or nearly completed right now.
Right.
Over $125 million.
And I want to talk just a little bit about that when we come back, about maybe some specific projects, because I know you hear it. We've talked many times on the show about one of your biggest, one of the most popular calls you get is about roads. So
yeah.
When we come back after this break here on Local Matters, I'm with Mayor Ricky Shelton from the City of Coolville. This is Ben Rogers, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're going to discuss more budget stuff, and we're going to get into Red, White, and Boom in just a moment.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue, across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. Ben Rogers with Mayor Ricky Shelton here in studio. Great information so far on the first reading of the budget being approved last week by the City Council. So you mentioned some infrastructure and road projects. What is that looking like for this budget?
Last year we established a special tax fund just for transportation, and so to have some pay-as-you-go projects. One of those will be East 12th Street. As you cross the railroad tracks there at President Oldham, the Tennessee Tech House, you know how it narrows down mm-hmm. and then widens back? So we're, for years, all my life, that's needed to be widened. So we're going to widen that to full four lanes all the way down to Washington. We're going to widen Stevens Street. So we're in the process of working with the Country Bumpkin there on the corner. And we've purchased a little bit of property back behind that so they can relocate their building back. And so we're going to take that corner. We're going to widen Stevens right there, which is another bottleneck that's needed to be done, and seems pretty dangerous. We're going to phase two of Cedar Street improvements from 2nd down to Broad. We did that and basically cityscaped that with the light poles in the sidewalks. We had a bike lane that stops at 2nd. So what we're going to do is we're going to do away with the on-street parking. We're going to bring the bicycle lanes all the way down to Broad and replace that on-street parking with some parking in. You know, we've got one lot that the city's took down those storage units and about to make a lot there. We're working on another lot just about a block away that should be ready to replace that parking, so that it'll make a super safe street. If you've ever gone through there, people park to go to the restaurants and the breweries, and they'll open the door out into the street and you have to stop. So it's a pretty dangerous thing. So we're going to get that done. 10th Street, that's a big one. That is hopefully, it's taken longer than we anticipated, but from 111 to Old Kentucky Road should be completed, would hope, in the next month or so. Mm-hmm. And then phase two is, if you've been out through there, you've seen the stakes, and so starting to acquire right away. That's going to be a very expensive project, but to go all the way to Fisk Road, really can't go beyond that, but that can at least get some relief there to Fisk Road. A lot of people go up through there and turn right onto Fisk going west. So that's one. And then, and you know, Tennessee Avenue, as you know, out by FedEx, there was a problem there. We allotted $250,000 to fix that road and get it ready for the FedEx facility and all of those. So just a lot of those are just four or five that I can think of off the bat. But yeah, Willow Avenue, continuing to look at that, what that might look like. The Willow and Jackson intersection, we've got some money allotted to make that better and safer and bigger, and so a lot going on.
I might be asking you a tough question, Mayor, so forgive me if it's tough, but Willow Avenue from Spring to Tech,
yeah,
it's just so tight. Well, how do you fix that, or can you fix that?
Yeah, you know, that was approved in the gas tax when Governor Haslam, you know, he had all those projects, all those millions of dollars, and that was an approved project after we'd been requesting it for almost 20 years. That is approved, and it was supposed to be started or completed within 10 years, and that 10 years is coming up in the next couple. And, you know, a lot of the right-of-way with Tech doing all they've done out through there, there's right-of-way available. You know, the hospital has some right-of-way out through there, so that was part of our deal is, hey, if we'll go ahead and make sure this right-of-way is available. So that is going to happen. I know at least one more lane added through there. You're right. It's very tight. It needs that for traffic flow. It's an extremely busy road. And it's kind of like Jefferson from I-40 to 111. You know, that's been almost 20 years in the making. We broke ground on that. So that's going to, but they said it'd take 2 to 3 years. Just projects like that, you know, it's easy to say, well, why don't they do that? Well, it takes so much work. It's almost like an iceberg. All the stuff underneath it that you don't see that it takes to get to this one little point of there's the road. And it's just, it's very, it's aggravating.
Right.
And nothing against TDOT. Everybody's so busy and everybody's got so much going on. Appreciate the partnerships with TDOT and others. But the more layers you add and the more people you add in, it definitely increases the time.
Yeah. And something else you mentioned a few minutes ago. Do you get a lot of calls, or you and the council get a lot of calls about bike lanes? I mean, because I know when we were over there in the UK and London and or Scotland and England, bike lanes are just common. It's just a way of life. Riding bicycles is a way of life for them. And you and I didn't drive over there because you drive on the wrong side of the road, in
right.
my opinion. But do you get a lot of phone calls about bike lanes, or is that just something
Not that much, but I think it's something. I think as we continue to grow and evolve, I think the bigger the city is, the more that would be utilized. And so, you know, it's kind of one of those things you try to add, you know, like a rail trail and access points for that. It's that. I mean, not necessarily, but that one, the bike lane on Cedar makes sense because you've got so many people at Tech. That's going to just access right into your downtown.
Right.
And that was the thought process. We had the ability to do that, so do it there.
I'll say this council has been very proactive about infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for our growing city and county, we have to be proactive or we're going to get way behind.
Yeah.
And we'll have a growth problem that we can't handle.
That's right.
And people are going to be frustrated because it takes them 30 minutes to get across town.
You know, we did a huge bond issue for to expansion of our wastewater treatment plant. It's at about 80% capacity. Well, you don't need to wait till it's 100 to start that. So we've started that. You know, that's a multi-year project, but it has started already. Some lawsuits filed about not wanting it expanded by some environmental groups and so that's the key to our growth. You don't have sewer, wastewater, or even water, you can't. You're done.
Yeah, you can't.
You
I
know
mean,
that.
You can't expand, and you can't
right.
provide services, and people can't have quality of life without that. I mean, very proactive there. Any other highlights in the budget before we move on?
I mean, I think that was the main things. A lot of capital equipment purchases, you know, trying to get caught up on some things. You know, once you have a little bit of money and feel like that, you know, let's catch up on some things that we've postponed because we really didn't have it and we didn't want to raise taxes. And now we were able to do all these things without raising taxes. And So yeah, I think, you know, some capital equipment purchases, some, again, infrastructure, sidewalks, road paving, about 12, 14 miles of road, get paid in the budget. So, it's a very good budget and it'll set the council up. Let me say one other thing too. Sure. You talk about bond issues and debt capacity. Mm-hmm. So even, the way our city is set up, you know, we're always paying back on our bonds, and we have potentially issuing the bond for the water park, there will still be about $12 to $15 million in debt capacity to issue bonds, and that will grow each year. But still, even doing that, so we had about $28 to $30 million in debt capacity. So issuing half of that potentially for a water park facility still will not curtail projects or growth that come up. We'll still be able to do them.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because debt capacity is huge for growth and to maintain what you have and to expand or create other things like you're doing with the water park, hopefully. One thing about you, Mayor, you are involved, and you're a part-time mayor by job description, right?
Right.
But I've always said, and I said this the first time you walked in the studio 3 years ago, almost probably to the day, you've been very involved. You know what's going on. And for a mayor that's not, I mean, you have a background and you're smart, but I don't think you got an accounting degree from college, did you?
No.
So
it was marketing.
Marketing, yeah. And that's what you do every day. And
right.
But for you not to have that experience and know all that stuff, it just blows my mind that you're involved. So debt capacity is huge. And like you said, if you have 12 to 15 million right now, it's only going to grow because y'all are paying debt every year.
Correct.
So you're paying down that principal. So great information. When we come back after this break, we're going to get into Red, White, and Boom. Yeah. I'm with Mayor Ricky Shelton in studio. This is Ben Rogers on Local Matters. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Local Matters. Ben Rogers with City of Coolville Mayor Ricky Shelton. Great info so far about the passing of the first passing of the budget, first reading last week by the City Council. Now, one of the main reasons I wanted you here is to talk about one of the biggest events that happens in our city and county every year, probably the biggest event, with Red, White, and Boom. And one thing about it, you've continued to do this event because it was so important in 2020 with a tornado, with COVID. It was so important to have something for especially our public safety and our healthcare workers. You've continued to do this. It keeps getting bigger. So when are the dates for Red, White, and Boom?
Yeah, so, you know, 8 years ago when I was running, my wife and I said, you know, why don't we have a 4th of July festival anymore? And so that became one of the centerpieces of why as we were running, something we continue to talk about, and it really caught on, and I could tell people really were, you know, so wanted some type of event, family fun events. And so that was kind of the start of this. And so 8 years later, here we are at Red, White, and Boom, number 8. And, you know, we decided the first year, I said, I'm going to plant the flag that ours will always be on July the 4th, no matter what date it falls on. And so the cool part about that now is what it's created in our community. But to answer your first question, so ours will be July 4th. July 2nd, Classic Car Show, Becky Raines always operates that for us at the Putnam County Fairgrounds, so that'll be 9 to 12 on July 2nd. And then July 4th is all of our other activities. So 10 a.m. we'll have a kids' wheel parade, so bicycle, wagon, a scooter, a wheelchair, whatever you're in, decorate, and then we'll get some prizes, and we'll circle the courthouse at 10 a.m. Registration starts at 9. You can register online. Jennifer Wilkerson, our county court clerk, is kind of organizing that for us, and so you can just show up with your decorated things. We'll walk around the courthouse, then end up back at the south lawn of the courthouse where the county, I've got to give you props real quick, have done this amazing work with this new Veterans Plaza. It's absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
Randy and John Ross and all that group that what they've created there, so great.
Great.
And so we're going to be there, and then we'll do a patriotic program around 10:30 a.m. where we're going to honor some of our veterans, one of them a 100-year-old World War II veteran, and so we'll be doing that. So a short, about a 30-minute program with some special guests. But then all the activities move to the Putnam County Fairgrounds again. We've got the gates open at 4 o'clock. Everything starts at 5. The Smoky Knights will be on from 5 to around 6. And then Jake Hoot comes on about 6:15, and we'll go till about 7:30. And then at 7:30, we have a Resurrection Journey. It's the number one Journey tribute band in the country. They travel all over, and really super excited to have them. And they look and sound just like Journey, and so it's really cool. And then about 9:05 or so is when we'll launch our fireworks show again, second largest in Tennessee. And it wouldn't be possible without all my partners that have made financially possible, so that every bit of this is free. We'll have about 12 food trucks on site. So, you know, bring your, it's free admission, free parking, free concert, free music, or free fireworks. Everything's free. And, about 1,000 cars can be parked. John Ross Albertson and his team do a great job. 1,000 cars can be parked on site, but you can certainly park anywhere you want, walk to hear the music, however you want to do that. But yeah, we're really excited.
A lot of churches and local businesses. Mm-hmm. Help with the parking, like yeah. around. They don't shut it off and say no. You
have
can't
their
park
own
it.
Little party, yeah. parking lot party.
Yeah, exactly. So they welcome people to come in and park as well.
Which is the cool part about, you know, this is the last. This is now the last year at this old at our old fairground site there on Jefferson, and so. You know, the good part is you can park on anywhere on Jefferson, anywhere on Interstate Drive, and still have a great view of the fireworks. Next year, we'll be moving to the new fairgrounds, and I have committed and will continue Red, White, and Boom with County Mayor Porter. We're going to continue that partnership, and I'm going to continue through my Better Cookeville Foundation to organize that and continue to facilitate that. So we're excited about that and what the new fairgrounds can mean as far as size and space and all that. So we'll have some cool things planned for that.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I think some people may not understand that, you know, you're mayor now. Your term ends because of the charter says you can only serve 2 consecutive terms.
Right.
Then you got to set off at least 4 years before you can come back. So your term's ending. And I think it's important to know the Red, White, and Boom, of course, the city helps and the county helps, but this is your foundation that does this, and you're going to continue to do it.
Yeah, it's something, you know, again, we started this, the nonprofit foundation, so we could raise money, so businesses could donate to it, and every penny that we raise, it's my wife or my family, no one's ever received a penny out of that foundation other than it all goes to the event. And I want to make that special note of that, because sometimes that's been said, well, you use that as a business. No, the business is to have fun events for the town. And so we've donated some other things to Christmas in the Park and those kind of things that we established, and which I've given to the city of Cookeville. I said, you all run with that and continue that. But the Red, White, and Boom, so we're going to continue that and continue to have that. And I think it's really important, but what it's created is, which is what's really cool, you know, we had slide the city that we had for 5 years, and that was great. Unfortunately, there's been some deterioration with that vinyl slide, and it's stored in a trailer, and the city of Cookeville owns that, and they've made the determination they're not going to do that anymore, and so that's out. But what it's created is you've got Monterey and Chris Landers Trading has done a tremendous job. They've established a venue on a farm up there, the Old Gray, and they're bringing in some huge country music acts. It is a paid ticket, but it's still July 1st and 2nd, and there's going to be some fireworks there. And then you got Delmonico and Baxter's doing July 3rd. And I think I understood that Allgood possibly is doing July 2nd,
okay.
I believe.
I think that's right.
And so you've got all these things to go with leading up to the biggest, which is Red, White, and Boom. So I think that's awesome. I think that you know, Tennessee Tourism has put us on the deal that, you know, here's a you can come to this community and you can spend 3 or 4 days and enjoy just music and fireworks and food and fun. And so I think that's what it's all about. And it's great when other communities partner. And here we are in our county. We've got four events, and it's going to be really neat.
Yeah, and I hate to say this because I'm not sure I'm 100% accurate, but I'm pretty certain I'm close. Davidson County Metro Nashville has their event July 4th, but inside their county, they don't have the events going on like we do.
I don't think so. You know, they have the largest fireworks show in the nation.
Right.
Same people, by the way, Pyro Shows do theirs. It does mine. The owner of the company facilitates that, and the son has done mine for 8 years and will continue to do it. So our one launch site is equal to their 7 launch sites on the river. So, you know, we have a tremendous cost, you know, like everything, costs have gone up tremendously. This will be the most expensive Red, White, and Boom ever, both with music and fireworks, and, you know, well over $100,000 to put all this on. And But again, I'm thankful for these great partners that I've got. And Stonecom, the radio stations, is one of my main ones, and have always, you know, made sure that this was promoted, and I'm thankful for that. But it's neat when you see all these people come together and all the things that happen, and then here we have a great community event.
Yeah, and of course the music's going to be great. The Journey group you mentioned. When I was a kid growing up listening to the Journey, I never thought anybody could duplicate Steve Perry's voice. But this guy's
yeah,
right on it,
and he looks like him too.
Yeah.
Maybe
Steve Perry, and we don't know.
It may be like Elvis, you know, where Elvis is Elvis still around?
Yeah, exactly.
That kind of thing. But if I could just take the liberty just real quick, just to mention, I just want to say, I can't say, again, I've talked about my partners, but Forward Lincoln of Cookeville, Life Church, Cookeville Regional Medical Center, Coca-Cola Consolidated, Cash Express, Store Smart, H2O Biz, Food City, Clayton Homes, Averitt Express, Rogers Group, Wilson Bank and Trust, T.W. Frierson Contractors, First National Bank, Real Estate Professionals of Tennessee, Cavity Commandos, Texas Roadhouse, Holiday Inn, McGriff Insurance, Vulcan Materials, Twin Lakes, and then, as you mentioned, obviously the City of Cookeville and Putnam County. Two important notes about that, and I know there's always these questions about, you know, this money going into this foundation. The City of Cookeville puts some money into it. It's in the budget, $8,000, and Putnam County puts $5,000 in it. Those go into a restricted fund. That money is only, the check is written out of that restricted fund for the exact amount for the fireworks. So people never have to wonder, well, what did that money go for? It goes for the fireworks. And so I, again, made a conscious effort to make sure, because I was mayor, I didn't want there to be any hint of impropriety there, to make sure that, and we'll continue to do that, that we want to make sure that the money, everybody knows what the money's being spent for.
Yeah, and cities and counties are allowed to allocate money to nonprofits.
Sure.
That's part of what
we do that a lot.
Yeah.
You know, but this is specifically earmarked to help with that fireworks event. And so I just, that's why I say it's a City of Cookeville, it's a Putnam County event.
How many people do you anticipate coming? You have a figure in your head?
We knew last year on site at the fairgrounds there was probably 4,000 or 5,000 people at the concert. I think we'll end up having that again. I think we've estimated multiple times, the police have said, there's up 40,000 to 50,000 people that come into the Cookeville area that night. The restaurants are completely maxed out. Got a special surprise. I don't have all the information on it, but we're going to have with the Army is going to do some flyovers for us late that evening, right before it gets dark. And so I don't know what all things will be there, but it's going to be really cool. On site, I mentioned the 12 food trucks. We're also going to have a medical pavilion. If you need anything, Blood Assurance will be there, Cookeville Regional Medical Center, I believe the Putnam County Health Department, so the Life Church Duo Ministries and all that they do, they'll be there on site. The Army's actually bringing this huge 40-foot interactive trailer that there's only three of them in the United States, and we're getting one of them. That'll be there on site for people and kids to enjoy. And so I just want it to be, it's what I've always wanted it to be, a family, fun, friendly event that everybody can be proud of, and you see some of the best fireworks you'll ever see.
Folks, if you're looking to do something July 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, go to Putnam County, go to Allgood, Cookeville, Baxter, Monterey.
Yep, actually 1st and 2nd in Monterey. Chris Jansen's on the 1st.
Okay.
And then Ty Herndon, Darrell Worley, and a whole host of people on the 2nd. As you said, then I'll think Allgood on the 2nd, and then Delmonico with Axe Interiors partnership for Baxter on the 3rd, and then ours on the 4th.
Folks, no excuse not to be involved. Thank you, Mayor, for being
Thank
on.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Appreciate all you do on the county commission, too, because your leadership there, and that's a huge responsibility with the schools. That's the biggest piece of the budget, and I know you all do a great work, and appreciate you.
Mayor, I appreciate you. Folks, have a great weekend. Remember to smile at somebody instead of frown. We'll see you next week on Local Matters. Thank you, Mayor.